At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wait, wait, wait. Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety and to our series, The Truth About Sober Dating, Sex, and Relationships, where we asked our guests 10 burning questions about dating. And today we have Caitlin. Caitlin, can you tell us a little bit about your relationship status and a little bit about yourself and your sober story?
Sure. Okay. So a little bit about me in short form is I got married at, you know, pretty young for Los Angeles. I was about 27 and I was married for 8 years, 8 years, 8 months. And then we got divorced and it has been almost 4 years of that divorce. So in that time, I have dated a few guys and that's been in my sobriety. So of that, I've been sober 6 years, the past 6 years. And so my sober journey, I was on an episode with you, which I loved so much. And I told more in that episode than I've ever shared before. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was so great. So people can go back and listen to that one. But my sober journey really started because I got sober curious. I was like, okay, alcohol's not serving me in my life. What can I do to remove it? And then when I was trying to remove it, I was like, wait, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. It's so socially acceptable. All of my friends were kind of drinking the same way I was. And so it really deep dove me into a sober curious turned sober journey. And I'm so grateful that I have 6 years of sobriety today and that I'm in a sober relationship today. Ooh, something I love to share about my marriage is that after I decided to get sober, we were still married. And 6 months into my sobriety, my now ex-husband, he got sober. And so we still stayed together for 2 years of our sobriety together. And he's still sober today as well.
I got sober and my husband at the time got sober a few months later and we stayed together 5 years after that. And I think that's kind of part of the reason we broke up because I don't think he wanted to be sober. Okay. Do you remember your first sober date? Tell us everything.
Okay. So my first sober date was when I was still married. And so he wasn't sober. And so I decided, okay, not only am I now going to take a break from alcohol, but I'm going to stop for good. And that was January 28th of 2019. And so the first time we went out, I was so uncomfortable because I wanted to act cool. I wanted to make it seem like it was fine that he could still have his cocktails. And when I sat down, it was like, okay, what am I going to order? And at the time, I was still ordering lots of mocktails. They're kind of sugary, but they weren't on menus back then like they are today. And so I had to make up my own. And thankfully, it was my husband. So it was like easier. It wasn't as awkward, But I definitely, like, I ordered that sparkling water, splash of crayon apple, and a lime. And then I waited to see if he would order, and he did. And he got my favorite drink, a glass of sparkling rosé champagne. And of all the drinks that a dude would drink, I'm like, that's just unkind. Yeah. And so over the next few dates, he would take breaks here and there with me. So sometimes he would get, you know, skinny marg. Again, not really a dude drink. And then other times he would abstain with me. But that first date, I definitely felt uncomfortable. It was like a little awkward. But then once they get their drink and you get yours, it's like, okay, now we can have the regular conversation. Now it doesn't matter what's in our glasses. We're just moving forward with what we're talking about. And it got easier over time.
Yeah, it's just that initial, like, ordering. But, like, it sounds passive aggressive that he ordered champagne.
I mean, there are some mindless moments. Let's not call them mindful.
What is your go-to response when someone asks, why don't you drink?
When somebody asks why I don't drink, I usually gauge the room or the area or the person. So if I notice that they're curious and they want to know more, or we're in more of a private setting where I can have a bigger conversation, I will actually disclose more. Oh, I haven't drank for 6 years. And then if they ask a question, I will divulge more. If it's an area where I'm in a group setting and there's lots of people and someone asks me, I will just say, no, thanks. I'm good. And then I order whatever I want. And if people have further questions after that, it's usually because they're curious. It's usually because they're like, wait a minute, how can you not drink? I don't understand. And I only know that because that was me. When I was still drinking, I would pester the person with questions. What do you mean you don't drink? What do you mean you don't want a cocktail right now? How can you possibly get through the evening without drinking?
No, I was the same way.
Exactly. Okay.
Red and green flags. What's a green flag you look for in a man now that you wouldn't have noticed before?
Oh my gosh. Well, the amount of beer goggles I had on when I was single and drinking. So many red flags. But green flags, genuinely, like, honestly, it's really for me. I know I want to date a sober person. So when I've been in a relationship now for 2 years, and it's, again, the whole premise of it was I saw all these green flags when we first met. One, he was a great single dad. I noticed how he was with his kids. So that was important to me. So for anyone single without kids, see the way that they treat other people, see the way that they treat their family members or the relationships with their family. That was important to me. So that was one green flag. And then another one was he asked me, I heard you don't drink. Like, do you go to meetings? He was kind of fishing. And I was like, wait a minute. I wouldn't have even considered dating him because we were at a barbecue. And if he had offered me a beer or said, do you want some wine? And he had cracked open a six pack and downed the whole thing, I never would have moved forward. And so instead, he was curiously asking, are you not drinking? Because neither am I. And that actually is a green flag for me. It's like, oh, that's classy. That's like, how do you handle yourself and compose yourself in a way that society doesn't call normal?
I love that. Yeah. Okay. Red flags that you used to ignore, but that are a deal breaker now.
Oh, red flags I used to ignore.
Yes.
All of them. It was like, oh, you're hot. You're attractive. I think for me, I just finished Jillian Turecki's book. It's called It Begins With You. And that's really the red flags that I didn't used to look for. How does this person actually make me feel? It's not, oh, how do they look? And what are they doing for me? I think red flags before would be like, well, they bought me dinner. They bought me and my friends drinks. So it automatically was assumed, okay, gotta like put out or whatever. And now it's like those red flags were also, gosh. So again, it's like, what are they doing to make me feel a certain way? Are they making me feel safe, or are they only focusing on themselves? Are they talking a lot about themselves? That would be another one. And I think a lot of people use alcohol as a crutch because they are so uncomfortable in their own skin. Well, there are lots of men out there who talk about themselves way too much. And they don't really ask you about you. And also, I think the last thing to say here is I learned my love language, and that's quality time and acts of service.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
And so, you know, is he offering acts of service? Is he driving by your house and notices your trash cans aren't outside, so he pulls them out? That's something my boyfriend does for me now. Those kind of things.
So, okay, about the love languages, this is really interesting. Do you think it's your job to communicate to the person what your love languages are, or do you think that they should, like, intuitively know what they are?
100%. That's something I actually learned from getting sober, because before I would just sit back and I would automatically assume they should know how I feel. They should know what my thoughts are. And what I learned from sobriety is no one knows how you feel unless you express it. And so I think it's super important to communicate those things and do it up front when you first start dating the person, because if they're not willing to give acts of service, or they're not interested in giving quality time, their love language might not be quality time. But if they're willing to know that that's yours and they put their phone down or in the other room and then they have quality time with you, those are important things to learn up front. And again, something I learned from Jillian Trecky's book. Those are the things that eat away at your relationship like termites, and then later it falls apart. Where if you find it out up front, yes, you communicate. Absolutely. Yes.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'd never communicated my love language until I got sober.
And you know what? I did know what it was, because I remember pulling out the love languages book when my husband and I were kind of having trouble with still drinking together. Mm-hmm. And I remember doing our love languages, and I remember knowing what they were, but I remember only caring about myself. So even though I knew his were like touch, touch is not mine. I knew it was his. But it was like, I wasn't offering that to him. Like, I fully take accountability for what didn't work in our marriage as well. And that was like, I wasn't offering him what he needed from me.
Yes. I agree. Okay. What is your go-to sober date activity?
Oh my gosh. Well, I used to love comedy clubs, and I haven't done it in a while, because now it's like, between my boyfriend and myself, we have 5 kids. So I have 3, he has 2. And so a lot of our time is spent with the kids. But when we do are able to do something just the two of us, he actually has a boat. So we take this boat up and we grab dinner in the marina here in LA, and then we drive it back. Now, most people don't just have a boat laying around to do so, but other activities, because I live in Southern California, it's just like, today we're going to go have a beach lunch date. Texted me last night, the weather's been beautiful, and he's like, do you want to go down to the beach and have lunch tomorrow? And I'm like, hits my quality time, hits even like acts of service. You reached out in advance and you're going to buy lunch. And yeah, just like easy, easy dates. Again, it's probably because I'm approaching 40 with almost 5 kids under my belt.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I get it. Okay. What is your advice for someone who is going on their first date without a drink?
Okay. So like I said, there's a difference between if you're going out with someone who's not drinking as well, or you're going out with someone who is drinking. And so obviously the one where you're going out with someone who's not drinking, much easier. You kind of just both are on the even level playing field. And so go in with like that quiet confidence, knowing that you're with someone who's going to stay sober and present. But if you're going out and you're the one not drinking, and they are, and maybe they don't even know that you don't drink. That's one of my girlfriends. She goes out all the time with guys, and she never tells them in advance that she doesn't drink. And it's almost to see how they'll react. It's almost to see, like, can they handle it? And I think people that don't have a drinking problem, so if I were going out with a man and he didn't have a drinking problem, he would have no issue with me not ordering a drink.
Wouldn't even notice.
No, he might ask, like, Oh, wow, you got a mocktail. That sounds cool. Maybe I'll have one next. Or, hey, I noticed you got that mocktail. Like, is that something you normally do? Do you not drink? And then it gives you that opportunity to open up and hopefully with confidence. I think at first when you stop drinking, it's kind of more uncomfortable. But over time, it's that quiet confidence of if this person is right for me, then it won't be an issue. And if they make an issue of it, red flag, yes. Like run for the hills because it isn't that big of a deal. And we're not numbing ourselves. We're actually showing up every day as our authentic self. And if someone doesn't like that right off the bat for that first date, it was nice knowing you. Thanks for the free dinner. See ya.
Okay. So I know your boyfriend is sober, but how much would you be comfortable with a date or a partner drinking? Like, where's your limit? I know mine is like two drinks, and my boyfriend's never had more than one drink. I didn't even communicate that to him, but he's never had more than one drink, like, around me.
I really didn't like when my ex-husband would have more than one to one and a half, two, to be honest. Like, I don't even like to be with a group of people where everyone has more than two, because people just start to kind of, like, you know, glass over their eyes, kind of numb out. They get loose in a way that's, like, not authentic. And it's like, I work really hard to be authentic in my sobriety through things like meditation, breath work, to show up with a quiet ease instead of needing a drink. And so I would definitely say total max would be two.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Who do you call after a first date to dish, or who do you call to vent after a fight with your partner?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. My best friend, Emily. Poor thing. My poor best friend, Emily. Yeah. We send each other those memes on Instagram where it's like, thank God for this person. And like the amount that they have to listen to. And then they hear the same story over and over and over, but they love you anyway. And they keep showing up as if you've never told them it before, or you've never had that fight with that person before. And she always shows up with no judgment. And what I will say is she's 5 years sober. And so it's a beautiful thing because it's like I go to someone who gets it.
Yeah. Okay. If your love life had a playlist, what is the first track?
Oh my gosh, the first track? My whole love life or my love life right now?
The first track. So whatever, maybe whatever's happening right now.
I mean, right now I'm in such a good place. I feel like very settled, very secure. Again, this comes from communicating in my relationship. I'm so grateful to have honest, open communication. We don't ever like bark or yell at each other. It's always just like, this is bothering me. How is it going? So that's a really hard question because it's one of those things where it's like, okay, when I'm not doing well in my love life, Gracie Abrams is like my go-to, like, bing, bing, bing. Like, she always makes me feel better about the angstiness. And then I'm like, if there were never any lost love, there wouldn't be these great, you know, awful love songs. And if it had to be like one of her songs, it's that first, oh my gosh, I couldn't stop listening to it. That's so true. That would be one of them.
Love it. Okay, fill in the blank. I used to think love was blank. Now I know it's blank.
Okay. I used to think love was hard. And now I think love is authentic. And it's because it's authentically me. And therefore, like I said, if you can show up loving you, then it's like easier to love others around you.
Oh my God. I love that. Caitlin, thank you so much for answering my invasive question. And thank you all for listening to Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you for listening and being with us today.
If you want to learn more about sobriety and meet your community, find us at sistersinsobriety.substack.com.
Are you a sister in sobriety? Then reach out on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're feeling generous, leave us 5 stars and a review and follow us wherever you listen.
You'll never miss an episode. Until next time.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views. and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.